Ekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome, everyone. Today, we're diving deep, like really deep, into the nature of reality itself.
We are indeed. We're looking at Brian Greene's incredible book, The Hidden Reality, Parallel Universes, and the Deep Laws of the Cosmos.
And this book tackles, well, maybe the biggest question out there. Are we alone? I mean, is our universe the only universe?
That's the core of it. And Greene's answer, based on physics, is probably not.
Probably not. So our mission today is to explore why. Why isn't the multiverse just, you know, cool sci-fi?
Exactly. Greene makes this compelling case that it's actually a logical outcome, something that just sort of falls out of the math of our best theories.
Like quantum mechanics, inflation, string theory. The big one.
The very ones we rely on. So exploring this really forces us to think about what reality even means.
Okay, before we jump into the universes themselves, let's talk about Brian Greene. Who is he? Why is he the right guide for this journey?
Well, he's a theoretical physicist, a professor at Columbia in both physics and math, Rhodes Scholar, co-founder of the World Science Festival. Quite the resume.
Impressive. But what makes him stand out for this topic?
It's that he's not just explaining the science from the outside. He's actually doing it. He's a leading string theorist working on the really complex stuff.
Stuff like mirror symmetry, Calabi-Yau manifolds. I remember seeing those terms.
Yeah, exactly. And Calabi-Yau manifolds, they sound super technical, right?
Uh-huh.
But they're crucial. They're basically these incredibly complex geometric shapes, and in string theory, the exact shape of these hidden dimensions. Well, that determines the laws of physics we see.
Ah, okay. So he works with the mathematical engine that actually generates these multiverse ideas.
Precisely. He lives and breathes this abstract math. And then on top of that, he's an amazing communicator. We know that from his other books, like The Elegant Universe.
Right. He can translate this stuff. So he has the deep knowledge and the ability to make it understandable. That's a rare combo.
It really is. He's the perfect person to bridge that gap.
All right, let's get into the book itself. What's the central idea, the main argument he's building?
The core thesis is that the multiverse isn't some add-on, some wild guess. It arises naturally, almost, unavoidably, from the physics we already use and trust.
So it's not philosophy desperately trying to invent something.
No, not at all. He argues it's a consequence of mathematical consistency. If our current theories are right, then parallel worlds seem to be part of the package. It challenges our whole notion of reality.
And the book takes you through, what, 9 different types of multiverses?
That's right. 9 distinct models, all grounded in plausible physics. And he structures it brilliantly, starting with the more, let's say, intuitive ideas.
If you can call any multiverse idea intuitive.
Oh, fair point. But, you know, starting with things based on infinite space and then gradually moving into the really, really strange territory.
Like eternal inflation, string theories, landscape, quantum mechanics.
Exactly. It's a journey. From the quilted multiverse, which is sort of about repetition in infinite space, through bubble universes from inflation, the mind-boggling possibilities of the string landscape, and then the quantum multiverse.
The one where copies of us split off constantly.
That's the one. And he even goes further into ideas like simulated realities or the ultimate concept that maybe reality is just mathematics.
Wow. So it's more than just physics equations. It tackles huge philosophical questions about identity, meaning our place in it all.
Absolutely. He emphasizes that you don't need to be a physicist, but you do need to be willing to let go of everyday intuition sometimes and trust where the math leads.
Okay, let's start that tour. Maybe we can hit the highlights, say the 5 most striking models, starting with the quilted multiverse.
Yeah.
You said that one's the most intuitive.
Right. Relatively speaking, it's based on 2 simple-ish ideas. 1, space is infinite. 2, there's only a finite number of ways matter can be arranged within any given volume.
Okay. Infinite space, finite arrangements.
Mm-hmm.
Like an infinite deck of cards, but only 52 card types.
Exactly. If you shuffle that infinite deck an infinite number of times, you're guaranteed to get the exact same sequence of cards over and over again, right?
Uh-huh. Simple probability.
Well, apply that to the cosmos. If space is infinite, then every possible configuration of particles within a region like, say, the region of our observable universe must repeat somewhere else, infinitely far away.
So there are exact copies of us having this exact conversation somewhere out there,
mm-hmm.
just too far away to ever see.
According to this model, yes. These aren't separate universes in the sense of bubbles, just incredibly distant regions of our own infinite universe.
Okay, mind already slightly blown. What's next? The inflationary multiverse. This one connects to the Big Bang, right?
Yes, this comes from cosmic inflation theory. The idea that the very early universe underwent this period of incredibly rapid expansion.
Faster than light expansion, wasn't it?
That's the idea. And the theory of eternal inflation suggests maybe that expansion didn't stop everywhere at the same time. Maybe it's still going on in the vastness beyond our observable patch.
And in pockets, it does stop.
Right. Randomly, inflation stops in certain regions. Each time that happens, it creates a new bubble, a pocket universe like ours, with its own Big Bang, its own evolution.
So our universe is just one bubble in a constantly frothing, expanding cosmic foam of other bubbles.
That's the picture. An infinite sea of bubble universes, each potentially with slightly different properties. And this isn't just speculation. It emerges quite naturally from the equations of inflation that seem to describe our own universe's beginning really well.
Okay, that's vast.
Yeah.
Now, the string landscape. This is where string theory and those extra dimensions come in.
Correct. String theory, or M theory, needs extra spatial dimensions to work mathematically, more than the three space dimensions we experience.
And these dimensions are tiny, curled up somehow.
Yes, incredibly tiny. But how they are curled up matters enormously, and string theory suggests there isn't just one way for them to curl up. There are, well, a staggering number of ways.
How staggering are we talking?
Green uses the estimate 10^500, 10 followed by 500 zeros.
Okay, that's not a number. That's just, yeah. What does that even mean? Can you even picture that?
Honestly, no. It's vastly more possibilities than atoms in the observable universe. It's almost incomprehensible. But the point is, each distinct way those extra dimensions can be curled up corresponds to a different vacuum state.
Meaning a different possible universe.
Essentially, yes. A different pocket universe with its own set of physical laws. Different fundamental constants, like the strength of gravity or the mass of an electron.
Ah, and this helps with the fine-tuning problem. The mystery of why our universe's constants seem perfectly set up for life.
Exactly. The string landscape offers an explanation. If all these 10^5 possibilities are realized somewhere as actual universes, then it's not surprising we find ourselves in one where the laws allow stars, planets, and life to exist. We couldn't exist to observe the others.
That's the anthropic principle on a grand scale. We're here because this is one of the universes where here is possible.
Precisely. It shifts the question from why this universe to which universe in the landscape are we in?
All right, now for the one that personally freaks me out the most, the quantum multiverse. Hugh Everett's Many Worlds. This is about choices, right?
It is, in a way. It comes from a fundamental puzzle in quantum mechanics. What happens when we measure a quantum system, like an electron spin? The standard idea is the wave function collapses into one definite state.
But Everett said, maybe it doesn't collapse.
Exactly. Everett suggested the wave function never collapses. Instead, every time a quantum measurement or interaction happens with multiple possible outcomes, the entire universe splits.
Splits?
Yeah.
Into parallel branches?
Yes. All possible outcomes of that quantum event actually happen, each in its own separate parallel universe branch.
So every time I make a decision, even a tiny one that has some quantum element, the universe splits. And there's another version of me who made the other choice.
That's the mind-bending implication. Every possibility is realized, an ever-branching tree of realities containing infinite versions of ourselves living out every conceivable life path.
Wow. Okay. That's a lot to process.
Yeah.
How do we only experience one path then?
That's due to something called decoherence. Basically, interactions with the environment quickly make these branches distinct and unable to interfere with each other from our perspective. We get stuck on one path.
Okay, moving on before my brain melts. The holographic multiverse. This sounds like pure science fiction.
It does, but it has roots in serious physics, particularly black hole thermodynamics and string theory. It involves the holographic principle.
Which says?
Roughly, that all the information contained within a volume of space, like our entire 3D universe, can be fully described by physics happening on the 2D boundary surface surrounding that volume.
Like a hologram stores a 3D image on a 2D film.
Exactly like that. So this raises the wild possibility that our seemingly 3D reality might actually be a projection, a kind of cosmic hologram generated by physics happening on some distant lower dimensional boundary.
Implying there's a parent universe on that boundary creating our reality.
That's one way to think about it, yeah. It's highly speculative but mathematically intriguing.
And finally, the most abstract, the ultimate multiverse, Max Tegmark's idea.
Yes, this is perhaps the furthest out there. Tegg Mark proposes that mathematics isn't just a tool we use to describe reality.
Don't tell me, mathematics is reality.
That's the hypothesis, the mathematical universe hypothesis. It suggests that any mathematically consistent structure, any complete set of mathematical laws that can exist without contradiction, doesn't just describe a possible universe, it is a physical universe.
So every equation, every possible physics exists.
If it's mathematically sound, yes. It collapses the distinction between mathematical existence and physical existence, the ultimate democracy of realities.
Phew. Okay. That's an incredible tour. Looking back at all these models, Green pulls out some common threads, right? Key themes.
He does. And the first one is maybe the most important. The multiverse isn't really an option you choose to believe in. It seems like an inevitability.
Because it keeps showing up.
Exactly. It emerges unasked for from the mathematics of inflation, quantum mechanics, string theories we already have strong evidence for in our universe. Green argues that to reject the multiverse often means you have to somehow break the internal consistency of these successful theories.
So the debate shifts from if it exists
to which version of it might be right, or maybe multiple versions coexist.
Okay, theme one, inevitability. What's next?
Theme two is about the limits of our intuition. Our brains evolved to deal with, you know, lions and bananas, single definite outcomes.
Not superposition or infinite copies of ourselves.
Right. These multiverse concepts are deeply counterintuitive. Green stresses that we need to rely on mathematical consistency as our guide, even when it leads to conclusions that feel bizarre or uncomfortable.
It demands a certain intellectual humility, doesn't it? Accepting that reality might be far stranger than we can easily imagine.
Absolutely. And that leads to the third theme, redefining identity and meaning. This is where the philosophy really kicks in.
If there are infinite versions of me, does anything I do here matter? Does it dilute my choices?
It's a natural question. But Green argues, quite dutifully, I think, that it doesn't diminish meaning. If anything, it expands it. Your individual experience becomes connected to this unimaginably vast tapestry of existence.
So how did that work?
The idea is to focus on living according to your values here, making the choices that resonate with the you experiencing this branch. Worrying about all the other infinite possibilities is cosmically unnecessary because they're all being explored anyway. It frees you up in a way.
That's a really interesting perspective. Less paralysis, more focus on the present path.
Exactly.
Green's writing is also known for being quite quotable, isn't it? He has a way of crystallizing these huge ideas.
Oh, definitely. Some lines just stick with you. The very simple opener to the whole mindset. Reality is not what it seems.
Sets the stage perfectly. Get ready to question everything.
And this one really captures his core argument about the science. The question is not whether the multiverse exists, but which version of the multiverse describes reality. That shows his confidence in where the physics is pointing.
I like this one too for the sheer scale. If the multiverse exists, then somewhere, somewhen, everything that can happen does happen.
Yeah, that one really conveys the overwhelming nature of it all, the sheer scope. And maybe one more, emphasizing the status of our own universe. In the grand scheme of things, our universe may be but one of countless parallel worlds, each as real and valid as our own.
Puts us in our place, cosmically speaking. So beyond blowing our minds, are there any, real-life applications or takeaways from grappling with these ideas?
I think so. On a personal level, thinking about the quantum multiverse, where all choices lead to real outcomes in some branch, can genuinely help with decision-making. It can reduce that feeling of regret or what if. You focus on making a good choice based on your values now, knowing that you don't have to find the single perfect path because all viable paths are being explored somewhere. It can lessen the pressure.
That actually sounds weirdly comforting, liberating almost.
It can be. And then there's the benefit for critical thinking. The book trains you to evaluate extraordinary claims based on logical consistency and indirect evidence.
Like looking for those bruises in the cosmic microwave background? Potential evidence of collisions between bubble universes.
Exactly. It teaches you how science progresses even when direct observation is impossible. You learn to assess the strength of mathematical arguments, to look for subtle clues. It sharpens your scientific literacy.
And maybe just fosters a general sense of wonder.
And humility.
Definitely humility. Realizing our entire reality might just be one tiny part of something vastly larger. Whether it's a bubble, a projection, a quantum branch, it encourages openness to new ideas, adaptability. It reminds us how much we still don't know. So wrapping up, what was the biggest takeaway for you, the thing that really stuck after revisiting this?
For me, it's still that inevitability theme. The way these completely different pillars of modern physics, cosmology with inflation, particle physics with string theory, fundamental reality with quantum mechanics, all seem to independently point towards some kind of multiverse. It wasn't planned that way, it just emerged. That convergence is incredibly powerful. It feels like the next logical step in that Copernican demotion, realizing we're not that special. First, Earth wasn't the center, then the sun, then the galaxy. Now maybe our whole universe isn't unique.
Yeah, that convergence is striking. For me, I think it's the philosophical side that resonates most. Mm-hmm. The way Green handles the implications for meaning and identity, the idea that trusting mathematical consistency over common sense can unlock deeper truths about reality, and that embracing this vastness doesn't have to lead to nihilism, but can actually enrich our understanding of existence and our connection to it. Just profoundly thought-provoking.
It really is. A journey well worth taking.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.